Blog Talk Radio.
I'm a truth terrorist. I'm a knowledge gangster. I'm a black history hitman. I'm a lie killer, urban gorilla. I gotta be a roughneck.
Free the Black Panthers, FCBP. Stand for free the Black Panthers. And fuck the black police. That 13th Amendment, trying to make a slave of me. You can lock my body, can't trap my mind, not forever be free.
Okay,
free the Black Panthers, FCBP. Stand for free the Black Panthers, and fuck the black police. Feds infiltrated our movements for black leadership roles. But we still here, finna build here, fuck coin tail bro.
Show.
They got me started, lying hearted, I'm the new Mufasa. And I'm all about Umoja, first in Gruz Usaba. Let's bring back the black families, we need our father. Single mama, son and daughter, that's root of the problem. Wise up, we wise up, unity so powerful. Black banks, black schools, black owned, black power moves. You telling lies, you think this shit gon' be televised. Black power, be scared guys, that be standing there like they paralyzed, huh? We say fuck the system, cause we above the system. We keep ARs and pistols, shotguns that's worth the crystal. But that's for self-defense, make sure we have no issues. Be sure to leave it at the door if you have it with you. This for them freedom fighters, that lost their freedom. Until they freedom, we screaming carpe diem. This for the general, King Khalid Muhammad. We gon' make your day a holiday, I fucking promise. Free the Black Panthers, FCBP. Stand for free the Black Panthers, and fuck the black police. That 13th Amendment, tryna make a slave of me. You can lock my body, can't trap my mind, not forever be free.
Okay,
free the Black Panthers, FCBP. Stand for free the Black Panthers, and fuck the black police. Feds infiltrated our movements for black leadership roles. But we still here, finna build here, fuck coin tail bro.
RBG, 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 RBG. My sisters, my brothers, the council, the elders, shit, that's really all I need. We suited, we booted, don't do it, you stupid, we head to the armory. Black woman and goddess, regardless, my heart just don't fuck with misogyny. Bullshit, I don't tolerate it. Melanated, so you gotta hate it. Barack fucked up another conversation. Trump finna get inaugurated, damn. Unify or die, NBPP.org.
First and foremost, the new Black Panther Party, no other Black Panther Party, we are not violent. We are for self-defense and self-determination. The most violent group in this country are the police. What is taking place by the police department to black people across this country is ethnic cleansing and genocide. It has escalated since the day that Barack Obama was inaugurated in 2008. We have a people who are only 13% of the population, yet we make up 80% of the prisons. We have 50% unemployment rate in the black community, and it's actually even more than that because they're not counting our people that are in the prison. The 13th Amendment says you cannot be made a slave or indentured servant unless you commit a crime. The 14th Amendment forced our people to be subjects of this government. We never had any say in that. We need our own nation.
And I think some of us have already run out of patience with him. You see, so we're in a war. That's not just rhetoric. That is real. That is reality. And so I wanted, before we get into our reports, I wanted to give a status report on the Paxlovid situation. And then later, I think at the end of the call, I'm going to ask Sister Najma to update all of us a little bit on where we are with some of the back orders. I want to thank many of you for being so patient. And I want to thank the volunteers who have pitched in to help us in a very difficult situation. So let me explain exactly what has taken place so that you really understand. And some of these things is just becoming clear to me. I didn't actually understand what was taking place. But essentially, we got hit with a triple whammy. First, there was the recall, the voluntary recall of Paxamune, where everybody had to send in a certain lot because there was a pH problem, okay? And that caused confusion, and there was a delay in production. Then shortly after that, once production got started, then the second problem hit, which was there was a shortage of the spray bottle caps. So some of you were waiting for orders that you placed through DrAlim.com for Paxamune. Well, when you placed the order, I was expecting to receive 4 pallets of Paxamune. Well, how many did I receive? I received 1. And so that means that some of the orders still cannot be fulfilled because I did not receive what I was expecting to receive. Now, the good news is the new production cycle will begin this week. As you heard on previous broadcasts, we were told to expect the production cycle to begin mid-September. Well, it is mid-September, and I have been told as late as today that the production cycle will begin again by the end of this week. And it may be, if everything goes according to plan and there's no glitches and all of the inspections and tests are satisfactory, there may be Paxamune ready for shipment as soon as next week or maybe 10 days, at the end of next week. Now, that's if everything goes as planned. In life, oftentimes, things don't go as planned. But that's the good news, is that the production cycle has begun, and then we can expect to receive the way past due shipment that never came in, so that we can fulfill the back orders that some of you have been patiently waiting for, some of you for months, literally for months. You see, so that's what the situation is. And then, of course, the third factor that hit right in the middle of all the rest of it is internal sabotage. It looks like we had a government agent working right beside me. And so this individual was deliberately holding back orders, not responding to communication in a proper way. I mean, it was actual sabotage. And in many cases, I thought that you had received your order, and come to find out, you never received it. You see, so I didn't know, because I'm relying on administrative help. And though the responsibility is mine, it's never somebody else's, but yet and still, I do rely on the help that I have. And so it turns out that there was internal sabotage. Now, some of the troubleshooting, and I really want to thank the troubleshooters who volunteered, came forward to help us straighten out the website, help us to straighten out the order, help us with all the back office stuff that got sabotaged. I'll tell you something, maybe I shouldn't mention it. I just really got control of my bank account today, as of today. So again, it's a real war. We're not surprised that the enemy on the outside had an enemy on the inside. You know, and so we just have to be more careful. And so the same dog that's biting you, he bit me too. So don't think I'm immune to the things that are affecting you. We're all in this together, and we're all trying to survive together. We do better when we work together instead of when we work against one another or apart from one another, in competition with one another. And so that's, I wanted to update you on that. We've been investigating for really about a month now, trying to find out really, really what happened, trying to follow up all the loose ends. And so, yes, it was a triple whammy, the recall plus the short production cycle. That was due to the shortage of spray bottle caps, due to the trade war with China. Spray bottle caps were offloaded from the ship. They're at the bottler right now. And so once we have the serum, then we will bottle the Paxamune, and it will be on the way to you. So that is my update report on the Paxamune situation. Now, if later on, maybe Sister Najma can give more details if you need that for your particular orders or your particular concerns, if I didn't cover what your concerns are. For now, we'll leave it there. So we expect a resupply on the way to you, let's say 7 to 10 days. That might be optimistic, but why not be optimistic? So do we have, let's begin our report. And first up, let's have our research team. I know Dr. Nadia indicated she wouldn't be on the call this evening. Brother Dawood is with us. Are you there, Brother Dawood?
Yes, sir. Absolutely.
Wa alaikum salam. Thank you.
Yes, sir. We have a brief update. So the last work that was being done was reformatting data that was going to the biostatistician. So we're just about done with the finishing touches on that and have communicated with the biostatistician. So she'll get it in the format she needs and will probably still be close to being within that 2-week window. The other thing that I'd like to remind everyone, for the future surveys that are upcoming, please do continue to go to the yourimmunityproject.org. and continue to sign up. Although you won't be assigned the past survey, you will just be held and be a portion of the database, so that as the new questions, new surveys relative to some of the future points we want to get answered and research that we want to do, you'll be assigned that survey when it's ready. The other thing that we are organizing right now is a trial pass, so that those that are in the database, when we are complete with it, will actually have some form of pass, digital pass on their phone, that will show that you are a part of a clinical trial, potentially some of the other information that's needed that you can display from your smartphone as you travel around and encounter some of these expected checkpoints. So those are the pieces right now, Dr. Lane. That's about all I have.
Well, that's really big, you see, because COVID-19 passports are a reality. If you live in New York City, you found that out today. They are starting to enforce it. If you don't have proof of vaccination or some other identification, you can't go in a restaurant. You can't go in public places. And, of course, this is going to happen all over the country. So the fact that we will have something that indicates that you are a participant in a clinical trial, that should protect you and help you to get past these checkpoints. Because if you are a participant in a scientific clinical trial, you cannot take any other medication while you are in that clinical trial. It would be a violation of scientific principles. Now, of course, we're dealing with criminals, and they don't necessarily follow the rules. But on the other hand, we do, and we are those that are strong enough to abide by the rules and then enforce them on ourselves and others if need be. So thank you, Brother Dawood and the research team. They're hard at work. This is really hard work that they're doing. And I really, really salute them for their hard effort. Now, I don't know, is Brother Ruben on from Australia?
Yes, sir. Assalamu alaikum.
Wa alaikum salam. Now, Brother Ruben is 14 hours ahead of us, people here on the East Coast. He's down under in Australia. It's wintertime down there, and it's already Wednesday, right?
Yes, sir. Assalamu alaikum to everyone. Yes, it is Wednesday morning.
Down in Australia, because you're under some really, really heavy lockdowns and mandates. So tell us about that.
Oh, yes, sir. Well, assalamu alaikum and greetings to everyone. I've just managed to pull over. It is kind of, we're in the springtime now. I'm out on the road, but it does feel like a very cold winter day. You know, the weather and climate change and all of these things that they talk about are going on here. But we are under some very interesting situations today here in Australia. I'm in Melbourne, Australia. That's on the East Coast. All of the states, just a very quick background for those who are not aware, all of the states here in Australia are under some form of lockdown. First of all, individual states, you have a lockdown where you're not able to travel more than 3 miles. Now it has been extended here where I am to about 6 miles, and you get an extra hour of exercise every day. Simply because we hit a certain vaccination target. So they said instead of getting out of your house for 1 hour a day, you're now allowed to have 2 hours a day. And the funny thing about all of that is that no one was counting the hours anyway, whether you're out for 1 hour, 2 hours, or if you, or 3 hours, you know, trying to get some sunshine. But, you know, they're trying to make it look like, you know, thank you so much for rolling up your sleeve, and I will give you an extra hour. The reality with all of the states, as of this morning in the newspapers, and, everything is available on Google. Google is your friend. Put in the Australian newspapers. There's a few major ones, and they all have similar headlines. A week ago, it was if we hit 70% double vaccination, that means you had both jabs, or whether it's Moderna or Pfizer or AstraZeneca, they would allow us to be free once again, get out of lockdown. The West Coast of Australia is now saying, hey, we may have to get to 90% of all eligible people. That means anyone above the 12 years old are going to have to be vaccinated before they allow us to start to open up. Now, the lockdowns are quite serious here in Australia in that there is no school, there is no work, I mean, unless you can work from home. There is no travel outside your immediate suburb or area, a few miles, right up to 6 miles, and nothing is open except hospitals, emergency workers, essential workers, those who are in government, running the country, politicians, they're able to congregate. But as far as everybody else, you're at home. You're not allowed to have visitors at your home. You're not allowed to, just carry on with any kind of social activity. What they're hoping to do is that once we get to 70 or 90%, they're still playing with the number, they will start to allow us to have certain freedoms. I'm on my cell phone right now, so I cannot show you some of the apps, but perhaps next week I'll be on my computer and I can show you on my telephone the apps that we have to use. To get into a grocery store, you have to scan in right now, and that records, you know, your location and other information. They tell us that's for tracking purposes, so in case there's a outbreak somewhere, they can get in touch with you. Hardly anyone, if you look at the media reports, has been contacted through these apps. You usually get to see on TV, hey, this area is now a tier one, or what they call a hot zone. So if you've been in this store or this area or particular zones, go and get tested is what they tell you. Here, we're still using the PCR test. And as you've heard, Dr. Lim has explained, that's not really a test anyway. So the idea here is every single day. Oh, the one other thing you're allowed to travel for is to get vaccinated. So they have that exemption. So you can drive anywhere you need to go to get vaccinated, just not across state lines. So the states are locked out. There's actual physical barriers, police, army, and other people. So many families who, you know, go to work across the border and come back home, many were separated for months, children by them, you know, with other relatives and other things, because when they impose certain lockdowns, they'd say, hey, from 4 p.m. today, so I'm out right now. And if I happen to be across the border and I don't make it back, back to, you know, on the other side, I may very well be stuck in another state. But, you know, thanks to Allah, we've been very fortunate to be able to continue to do the work we do from our homes. I have a home office, so I've been able to continue somewhat. But every industry, including the one I'm in construction, they're all shut down completely. So this has been, I think the children have been 180 days away from school now for this year. And the actual lockdown here in my state, we're over 200 and I think 30 days right now. So that's very serious in that, mentally, it's the mental state of people. They're putting millions and billions of dollars into the mental health of people because many people feel they're trapped. They're in this, prison. And they are, as you heard Dr. Alim mention, there have been very many protests, riots and things like that. If you want to see some of these, just go on Google, put Australia protest, vaccination protests. You'll see those for yourself. Many have been very violent with the police, you know, using all kinds of pepper spray and rubber bullets on people. So it's been very interesting to see those who were saying, look, we just want to get back to normal and this is unconstitutional, stopping us from doing anything and everything. The other thing as well that got introduced about three days ago here in Australia is that they are introducing vaccination passports. And if you want to see what they look like, again, go on Google, just put Australia vaccination passport. They look like a real passport. And what they're doing, they will actually, because we use an electronic type of passport in Australia, it's got a chip in it, they're going to merge the two together. So you do not need to carry two passports. You'll carry one passport when you fly overseas. Of course, we're not allowed to fly overseas. You cannot even fly across state lines. The airlines here are thinking, once we do get to the 70 or 90%, whatever they agree on, they will open up international travel. But of course, you're going to have to be vaccinated before they allow you to go anywhere. So these are some of the things going on here in Australia, some of the things to look out for. And the most important thing that all of us, especially on this call and family and others, to be aware of is, those of us who have said we don't want any vaccination, we don't want anything that they're providing us with, they have told us we cannot mandate it by law just yet. They're pushing that responsibility to employers. So many of the big national, multinational companies in Australia have already said no jab, no work. So you must be double vaccinated. Many have given dates, some in 2 weeks from now, all the healthcare workers, and others. So you don't have to be in healthcare. Just, so they're basically saying, if you want to keep your job, you're going to have to be vaccinated or don't come back to work by a certain date. The other thing the governors mentioned as well is those who are not vaccinated, because we're going to have a certain scanning code app that we all have to download. You will be locked out of everything except going to the grocery store and medical help and vaccination. Otherwise, you'll actually will not be able to go to a public park, because even right now, I've pulled over next to a park. You need to scan in to get in here. So if I go to scan in a few weeks and it shows a cross because I haven't been vaccinated, here they just won't let me in, you know. So you're closed out from everything. Public parks, swimming pools, cinemas, shopping malls. Transportation, you're not going to be able to get around on public transportation without having a vaccine passport or a COVID pass, a vaccination pass on your smartphone. So things are getting really serious. We were told these days would come, so we're not really surprised, but it is something to be really living during these times, especially while we're all separated from one another. So I'm going to stay on the phone for the rest of the call. And if there are any questions, I'll be more than happy to share those with you. So thank you, family. Thank you, Dr. Lim, for allowing me this time. May Allah continue to bless us all. Love you, family. Assalamu alaikum.
Wa alaikum salam. Thank you, Brother Ruben from Australia. And so what they're doing there now will be, actually, it's already here. I think Sister Najma, let's put up some of the images. I'm going to go over some of the headlines. Then I think Curtis Cost will give his report a little bit after 8 o'clock. He's in a different meeting right now. So let me just go to the headlines. And if you could put up those images, let's start with the one. I don't know if I said them in a particular order, but the one that has to do with intelligence. You see that? So now that's Neil deGrasse Tyson. He's the leading astrophysicist in the world, in America. He replaced Carl Sagan as the spokesman for astronomy nowadays. And so that's a t-shirt that he came up with. And, you know, you have to look at it a couple of times before you can decipher it. But it basically says intelligence is the ability to adapt to change. And so that's what this is really all about. We are in a changing situation. And people yearn for normalcy. They yearn, you know, for the way things used to be. But I think it would be not so intelligent to think that things are the way that they used to be, because they certainly are not. There's a Bible verse, I think it's in Revelation, where there was an angel who proclaimed that the time that you have known, you will know no more. And so it's only intelligent, you know, to open your eyes and see what's taking place. There was a book out that I read a long time ago. Maybe you want to pull it out. It's called Who Moved My Cheese? And it's the same thing, that things change. And the things that you used to rely upon, you can't rely upon anymore. So let's have the next image, please. Not in any particular order, necessarily. Yeah, now see, this is a headline. The LA Police Department is suing the city over the vaccine mandate. You see, so that's what needs to happen. The teachers union in New York City, they're suing the mayor. There are governors around the country. They're suing the Biden administration because of these illegal mandates. And so people whose employer forcing them or coercing them to take an unwanted shot. Don't call it a vaccine because it's not a vaccine. Don't ask for a vaccine exemption. Look how silly it sounds to ask for a vaccine exemption for a shot that is not a vaccine. That would be like going in a fish store asking for a chicken sandwich. I mean, look at where you are. Open your eyes. It's not a vaccine. And so stop calling it that. And there is no exemption for what they are planning to do. It's called mass murder. So a letter is not going to stop premeditated murder. So do what the LAPD is doing, the teachers are doing, other people are doing. If you're in a union or you're just organize yourself and then take united action against those who are oppressing you. Let's look at the next image, please. Same one. Okay, now it's the same thing. The same thing. I don't know where this came from, but the Great American Walkout, where people are saying all over America, if they are pressuring you to take an unwanted shot at your place of business or your school or wherever you are, then walk out on them. Now, this is creating staff shortages because it's already taking place. There's a hospital in New York City that stopped delivering babies because rather than take the shot, the doctors and the nurses walked out. And so that's what your power is, the walkout. But you have to do it in an organized way. And again, this is where are our lawyers? Where are our legal advisors to help our people to understand what their rights are and how to stand up for their rights? Next image, please. Yeah, now, I wish I could see this a little bit better. See, now this, I picked this up on social media somewhere. See, a year ago, on the 7th day of September, 2020, that is, the new COVID cases came in at 25,000, and nobody was vaccinated. Now, here, this year, on the 7th of September, with 175 million people vaccinated, look at the number of new COVID cases, 300,000 in one day. So now what does that tell you? It tells you that the shot is making people sick. Simple. The shot is making people sick. And then you have a test that is a phony test. So when they get sick from the shot and they go to the hospital, then they give them the phony PCR test and tell them that they have a breakthrough case of COVID. No, they are dying from the shot. That's what the S protein does. And that's why you should not call it a vaccine, because it does not do any of the things that a vaccine is supposed to do. The way I was taught, if it quacks like a duck, it waddles like a duck, and it swims like a duck, it's probably a duck. But if it doesn't quack like a duck, and it doesn't waddle like a duck, and it doesn't swim like a duck, it's not a duck. It's something else. And so this so-called shot, it doesn't do what a vaccine is supposed to do. It doesn't prevent contagion. It doesn't prevent the infection. So it's not a vaccine. It doesn't do what a vaccine is allegedly supposed to do. So even this little boy is smart enough to know that. Is there one more image, I think? Yeah. Now, this is, I just put this up just so that you understand all of the bad press about ivermectin. Now, I'm a doctor. I never used ivermectin. So I don't know anything about it clinically. I have no clinical experience using ivermectin. But I know that throughout the world, it has been used almost as a miracle drug. And it gets a bad publicity here in the U.S. as though somehow it's a dangerous drug or it's an animal drug. Well, I just wanted you to see Dr. Amora won the Nobel Prize for ivermectin in 2015. That's the kind of drug this is. It is an anti-parasitic drug. And some of you may recall that I pointed out that the natural history of coronaviruses is their natural hosts are parasites. So that might be why ivermectin would be a benefit, because actually the coronavirus that may be infecting a person's body isn't really infecting the person. The coronavirus is infecting the parasites that might be in that person's body. So you think about all the people who eat pork. Well, they have parasites in their body just from eating pork. And of course, there's other sources of parasites as well. And so that's what the coronavirus is looking for. It's looking for a parasitic host. And so ivermectin might actually be a benefit. Now, one other point on ivermectin. Even though ivermectin is being withheld from American citizens, do you know what the government is doing? The Afghan refugees that are coming to the United States, they have to be given a two-week course of ivermectin before they can come into the United States. I just thought you'd like to know that. Can we see the next image? Now, this is what's going on in Australia right now. But now this is from Walmart. Now, the upper part got cut off. I think this is going to take effect in 2 weeks. So if you're going to go to Walmart for any purpose, proof of vaccination will be required. The greeter at Walmart is going to want to see your proof of vaccination. You see, so it's real. And I think there's one more, isn't there? No, there isn't. Here it is, door to door. They're going door to door in Washington, D.C., looking for the unvaxxed, knocking on doors 4, 5, and 6 times a day, if necessary. Now, what that means is they know who has been given the shot and who has not gotten the shot. See, because there's tracking electronic in the shot. So they can scan a neighborhood and they can locate every individual, say in a neighborhood or in a building. That's what the social distancing was all about. You have to have 6 feet of space so that the overhead scanners, it might be a drone or it even might be a satellite, can scan a whole area and pinpoint every person that's emitting a vaccine signal. And of course, anybody that's in the scan that does not emit that vaccine signal means they didn't get back. They didn't get the shot. And so it's just like GPS. So they can pinpoint your address and come knock on your door. We know you didn't get the shot. So what you going to do? You're here now. The other interesting thing is, of course, the U.S. Trained 300,000 soldiers in Afghanistan. And you notice they didn't fight in Afghanistan. So what's going to happen to the 300,000 trained Afghani soldiers? Maybe they'll bring them here. See, because if the U.S. military is resisting the mandated shot, I don't have the headline, but what was it, 12 F-22 fighter jet pilots walked out because they won't take the shot. And a number of B-52 bomber pilots, they quit because they won't take the shot. And so it's a national security issue if the military quit because they won't take the shot. Or if they do take the shot and the shot disables them. You see, that would be a strategic blow to the U.S. military. And so all of these things have to be considered. And so Dr. Neil deGrasse Tyson is right. Intelligence is the ability to adapt to change. And all of these things are changing. All of these things are happening at once. And so we have to be on our toes. So I think those were the headlines I wanted to point out. And maybe Curtis Cost is with us from, I don't know if he's representing the Children's Health Defense, but is Mr. Cost with us? He was going to join late. He was in another meeting. If he's not with us,
He said he would join between a quarter till and 8 o'clock.
Oh, what time is it now?
Almost a quarter till.
Okay. All right. Well, why don't we? Why don't we open up the lines for questions? Maybe there's a question or two to the research people or to Brother Ruben in Australia or even to me. I don't know. And then when Curtis Koss gets online, then we'll bring him on.
Okay, yes, sir. Okay, so we have callers on Zoom. Please raise your hand if you have a question. And also on the free conference call, hit *6 and the number 1, and that'll place you in the queue to ask your question or make your comment. We have Latoya from Gaza.
Assalamu alaikum.
Wa alaikum salam.
My question is, first, I heard someone, the research team, talking about if you tell the person or your employer or school that you are a part of a clinical trial, that can stop you from getting vaccinated, if I'm understanding correctly?
Well, let me explain what I said.
Yeah.
When scientists are doing clinical trial research, they put an individual on a medication or whatever the research project is, then they not be interfered with by some other research project. You see, because it would mess up the validity of the result. So in an environment, and in scientific environment where scientists are being scientific and respecting science and respecting one another, then that would be valid. If you would just say, I'm in a clinical trial, I can't do that. And that should be accepted. Now, are we dealing with honorable people? Are we dealing with honest science? Or are we dealing with politicized science? And they don't care what the truth is. Well, this is why we have to be prepared to fight. We're doing what we should do. We're doing the right thing. And we will present our evidence to those who want to see some evidence of what we're doing. Now, if they're criminals, if the person you work for is a crook, as a part of the conspiracy, they don't care what you have on your phone. They're out to kill you. You see, so for many of us, we're going to find that we're dealing with corrupt people. You might find out that you're a student, but the people who run your university are corrupt. They got bribed by AstraZeneca. They got money from Pfizer. Where did the $40 million that went to Tuskegee, where did that come from? How did Morehouse all of a sudden get $45 million endowed to them? How is it Howard University got $45 million? Well, this was the bribe. Don't you remember a year ago when Mr. Trump was still the president that he gave $100 million to Pfizer and Moderna? Well, what do you think they did with that money? They spread it around. They bribed judges. They bribed congresspeople. They bribed mayors. Every mayor in the city in America, in their city coffers, is flooded with money. They call it a slush fund. It was supposed to be COVID relief money, but really it's money for corruption to pay off corrupt politicians. So that's why your city council isn't standing up for you. That's why your school board is not standing up for you. Where's your local county sheriff? According to the United States Constitution, the highest ranking law officer in America is the county sheriff. Well, look at Anthony Fauci. He lives in Montgomery County, Maryland. He's committing crimes against humanity. Where is the Montgomery County Sheriff? A crime is in progress. We have been reporting it to the public. A crime is in progress. A mass murderer named Anthony Fauci is on the loose in Montgomery County. That's where he lives. But what's wrong with the county sheriff that he doesn't go arrest this man and arrest his gang that they call NIA? It's a gang. So you see, you're asking a very intelligent question. If I show my employer that I'm enrolled in a valid scientific clinical trial, if your employer is an honest and honorable person, they might accept it. But you know whether or not that's true. Most people know that the people you work for ain't worth 2 cents. And a lot of the hypocrisy that's going on nowadays is, why are you so excited to get back to your job that you hated? Now you're going to risk your life for a job? And then the day after they give you the jab, they fire you? Look what they did down at Spelman. A young lady here in the D.C. area, her family told her don't get the vaccine, but she got accepted to Spelman. She wanted to go to Spelman so bad. But they told her that you have to get the jab. So she went and got the jab. Then when she got the Spelman, they said, oh, we changed our mind. We're going back to virtual classrooms anyhow. Well, what was the whole thing about? Was to get the jab in the arm. Why? Because that's the depopulation agenda. So look at Mr. Biden. He claims 177 million Americans have gotten at least 2 shots. Okay, well, what is it supposed to be? By now, he's supposed to be over 200 million. Because if you're going to get the American population down from 337 million down to 69 million, well, you do the math. You've got to kill over 200 million people. And so they're lagging behind the quota. You're not signing up. Now, last week, I pointed out black people are winning because only 25% of us had gotten the shot as of last week. Now, I got some disturbing news today. What they're saying now, 40% of black people have gotten the jab. So since last week, we lost 15% because they're putting the pressure on people to keep their jobs or to go to school or to get benefits. And so people are caving. They know it's not right, but they're caving because the pressure is too great. And so that's why I'm asking, where are our lawyers who will come to the defense of these people? Why should every man and woman have to fight as an individual? We need mass action. We need a class action suit. And so, yes, if you have honorable people you work for, they'll respect that. But we live in a time of very great dishonor and dishonesty. So you may have to fight for your right. Is there any other questions, or is Curtis Koff with us yet?
Go ahead, sis.
Go ahead.
Well, next to my man.
Yes. Laura.
And I think some of us have already run out of patience with him. You see, so we're in a war. That's not just rhetoric. That is real. That is reality. And so I wanted, before we get into our reports, I wanted to give a status report on the Paxtonune situation. And then later, I think at the end of the call, I'm going to ask Sister Najma to update all of us a little bit on where we are with some of the back orders. I want to thank many of you for being so patient. And I want to thank the volunteers who have pitched in to help us in a very difficult situation. So let me explain exactly what has taken place so that you really understand. And some of these things is just becoming clear to me. I didn't actually understand what was taking place. But essentially, we got hit with a triple whammy. A triple whammy. First, there was the recall, the voluntary recall of Paxamune, where everybody had to stand in a certain lot because there was a pH problem. Okay, and that caused confusion, and there was a delay in production. Then shortly after that, once production got started,
our foundation, so that we may survive. So now, is our research team on the line?
Yes.
Okay, why don't we hear from them right away, and then I want to come back. I want you, while we're listening to their report, also consider that question, how strong can we make this foundation that we're standing on? Because if we're standing on sand, you know, we're going to be washed away pretty quick. So is Dr. Nadia and Brother Dawood, are you on the line?
Yes.
Yes. Yes, this is Dr. Nadia and Brother Dawood is on the line. Assalamu alaikum.
Well,
the floor is great. So effective today at 11:59 p.m. Pacific Standard Time, we are closing out the observational study portion of the clinical trial. We are in the process of ensuring that all the observational study-related activities are appropriately reconciled, recorded, and accurately reported as we conclude this aspect of the study. So on behalf of the clinical trial team, thank you to everyone who participated in the first portion of the trial in some form or fashion, whether you're on call this evening or not, whether you completed the survey or just promoted the trial in your workplace, among your family and friends. We appreciate all of your efforts. With your support, we were able to meet the critical project milestone. We are looking forward to gaining valuable insights from the data collected from the observational survey, and we expect that we will be able to provide a preliminary report of the study findings over the next several weeks. Also, I just wanted to reaffirm, the clinical survey data is accessible only to project researchers and analysts. While a list of study participants may be published, to acknowledge individual contributions to the breadth of research, no public reports nor published analysis will connect respondents in a way that the responses can be linked to them. And so at this time, again, I'd like to thank everyone for all of your hard work, your dedication, and your perseverance. And at this moment, we are going to have Brother Dawood provide a report with the breakdown of current enrollment data. And he'll provide us with some information on the next steps relating to what's needed in preparation for archiving and extracting study data for analysis. So, Brother Dawood, you have the floor to provide your report as well.
Okay. Thank you, Dr. Nadia. Assalamu alaikum, everyone. So what we'll report, there are about 219 individuals that completed the self-registration. And we've had a flurry of individuals complete the self-registration within the last week since Dr. Lane mentioned that we'd end this aspect of it today on the 22nd. Of those, we have 84 completed surveys, so we are beyond the number we needed for the observational surveys. We have 84 that are completed. There are an additional 76 that have entered the system but have partial information. So those individuals will reach back out to, and I'll ask them to complete another survey. So some of the issue was along the way were glitches in the software, bugs in the software that were still being worked out on our end. And then in some other cases, it seemed some user issues, getting familiar with how to enter the information properly. So we'll reassign those and give them an opportunity to add the remaining information in for those 76 individuals, and then that would bring us up to, I think it's 160 there of completed surveys. So the issues that we were able to identify, we were attempting to capture data and information about the software since we kind of rushed adding this aspect into the software to capture the surveys. The type of issues we saw 8 issues that dealt with login problems where individuals were being locked out of the software, and we had to go in from the admin side to try to add them. And then we saw about 3 issues where the information the individual would put into the survey would duplicate and duplicate in multiple fields. So those are the glitches that we've caught that we're working on now. And like I say, for those 76 individuals that did enter partial information, those will reassign. So if you could send those back right away, and then we'll have a much greater number of completed surveys for this aspect. So Dr. Lame, I think that's all that I have to add right now.
Okay, well, thank you very much. That sounds great. Those numbers, you know, like you said, it's past the goal. We already hit the goal. So yes. It's almost like we're going to double the goal. If the people in the pipeline will do what you say and complete the process. So that's excellent. That's fantastic. So what is the benefit for those of you who are new to this and you're just hearing this for the first time? We're going to have a continuing research component. Why do we do that? Well, first of all, you have to understand the foundation of the Euroimmunity Project. What Brother Dawood and Dr. Nadia just presented is one leg on which the Euroimmunity Project stands. That's the research leg. We have 3 or 4 other legs. Now, the first leg that we always talk about is prevention, and that's the beauty of the pandemic. That the studies in China showed that this kind of preparation is 100% effective in preventing the spread of COVID-19. And that's what flattened the curve in China and Cuba and other countries as well. So prevention is handled by the vaccine. The second leg, of course, is diagnosis. Now, this is where we really don't have a leg to stand on because, as we have found out over the last year, all of the testing, especially the PCR testing, the nasal swab testing, all of that's bogus. It's phony. It's worthless. And so all COVID-19 diagnoses at this point would have to be called into question. And so we are in the process of evaluating some of the test kits, but whether or not they'll pan out, that's a serious issue. So after prevention and diagnosis, then the other leg that we've been standing on is treatment. And once again, front and center, here comes the pandemic. Because if prevention fails and people end up with symptoms from COVID-19, just go back and listen to all of the testimonials over the last year. That's where the good news came in. The people who were sick got better, sometimes almost overnight. Usually within a couple of days, people back at work, people back into the swing of, and with the PAXIMMUNE, we were able to create what we call PAX zones of safety, where people are sharing the interferon, sharing the PAXIMMUNE, to be creating safety for themselves, for their family, for their friends, for their neighbors, coworkers, teammates. And then, of course, the other leg is the research. And then the fifth leg is education. And that's why we're on this call tonight, because we update ourselves. We keep ourselves current as well as we can. There's a dizzying amount of information that comes out every day. We might need to have a proper call every day to keep up with the information, but we do the best we can with our weekly call. So prevention, diagnosis, treatment, research, education. Those are the 5 pillars on which the Euroimmunity Project is based. And so that has gotten us this far. Now, to go further, we have to continue to apply those five principles because we have a new threat. The game has changed. It's not just a viral threat anymore. Now we are fighting a protein. And we'll come back to that in a little bit. But before I do that, I just want to touch briefly on the recall. It was a voluntary recall of Paxlovid. Just one lot, not all of it. So check your lot number, which is on the bottom of the bottles. You might need a little flashlight to light it up, but you should be able to see it. And if it's lot number 210402, then that's the recall lot. If it's not that number, then forget about it. Don't even pay attention to what I'm saying. It doesn't involve you. But if you have lot number 210402, then you have to return that. That has been recalled. There's a problem with the pH. So the company has submitted a voluntary recall of their trucks. It's a quality control issue. It's not a safety issue. It's not an efficacy issue. But it is a quality control issue. So lot number 210402, you are to return that, and it will be replaced. Now, where do you return it? You return it to, write this down, return it to Dr. Aleem. Aleem is spelled A-L-I-M. Return it to Dr. Aleem, 12138 Central Avenue. 12138 Central Avenue. Suite number 514. That's suite number 514, Mitchellville, Maryland. Mitchellville, Maryland, 20721. So you're going to return lot number 210402 only. That's the only one that's recalled. You're going to return that to Dr. Aleem, 12138 Central Avenue, suite 514, Mitchellville, Maryland, and the zip code is 20721. Any questions about the recall, please go to the website, drarleen.com. But really, it's just that simple, as I just said. Now, people are asking me, and you want to know, when is the replacement going to take place? And if you had asked me that question yesterday, I would have told you I don't know. But I have a word from the company manager. They are working diligently. They understand the urgency that some of you might be feeling, and they're doing their level best to resupply us. They're talking optimistically 3 to 4 weeks. And we should be able to replace the returned or recalled product. So return to Dr. Aleem, 12138 Central Avenue, Suite 514, Mitchellville, Maryland, 20721. And according to the company manager, they are expecting to be shipping out replacement products in 3 to 4 weeks. Now, I think that they're optimistic. I hope that they are right. So that's the good news where the recall is concerned. But please, return the recall lot. Now, I want to shift gears here. What time is it? It's about 7:20. I want to take 10 minutes or so and sort of read some headlines. Maybe with a few comments. I don't have time tonight to go in depth on some of these stories. And I really don't even have a chance to put all of them up on Instagram. I do the best I can. Here's a story from Brazil. The Brazilian was caught taking a COVID injection on live TV. At the same time, of course, while he's telling the people in Brazil that they should take the vaccine. And then, of course, the article goes on to remind everybody how Dr. Anthony Fauci forgot which arm he got his shot. So the fakery is being revealed. Here's another headline. There's a very real risk, according to certain experts, if the COVID-19 RNA-based vaccine carry a very real risk of prion disease. Let me read that again. COVID-19 RNA-based vaccines are a very real risk of prion disease. Now, what's prion disease? Well, prions are infectious proteins. People don't know proteins can be infectious. Now, that usually is caused by cannibalism. When you feed animals their own species or humans, eat humans, that causes a derangement in proteins, especially in the brain. And it causes Creutzfeldt-Jakob disease, mad cow disease, in other words. Also called laughing sickness, guru, is one of the symptoms of people who have a prion brain infection is they start laughing all the time. They start cackling and carrying on. Everything is funny. But that's actually a terminal event when you start seeing that person. Not long for this world. So prions are infectious protein. And so the S protein, the spike protein that is in the mRNA technology that produces the spike protein, all four vaccines have a common denominator. All four vaccines cause the vaccinated person's body to produce the spike protein, and the spike protein is a prion. It's an infectious protein. It's also self-propagating. It's a protein, but it divides and multiplies, and it converts other proteins into prions. Very weird. And it destroys the brain tissue and other tissues throughout the body. Now, the interesting thing about the spike protein, which is a prion, but it's also magnetic. So people are showing magnetic effects after being vaccinated. Now, because the prion is an infectious protein, it's smaller than a virus. Remember, the spike protein is on the virus. I mean, how many of them are there? There may be 24 spikes on every viral particle. I don't know if it's really 24. It's about 24. I wouldn't be surprised if that's something. I didn't actually ever count. But that's how small the spike protein is. You can get about 24 of them on one viral particle. But when a person's body who has been vaccinated starts producing spike protein, you see how they can easily be in the air from the breath. And it's reported, according to Pfizer's documents, that even skin contact can pass the prion, the spike protein, from one person to another. And, of course, the spike protein is what causes all of the pathology because it interacts with the ACE2 receptors that are found lining the blood vessels throughout the body, the arteries, the veins, the capillaries, the inside of the heart. Where in the body is there not blood vessels? So that's why recent autopsies have shown when people die from the vaccine, they find the mRNA proteins, the spike proteins in every organ, every single organ. It's not true that it just stays in the injection. So people are beginning to put two and two together, and some people are calling what's going on World War III. Well, I certainly don't know about that, but I do know that everything about COVID-19 has the word weaponization written all over it. Even on mainstream media, I mean, they were roasting Anthony Fauci and other people in the NIH, they funded the gain of research, the gain of function research that was going on in China. They're trying to blame China, but they paid for it. Maybe China did the work, but they paid for it. So blame them both. They were both involved. So, let me find a couple of more headlines here that I think. Yeah, here we go. Now the funeral director. The funeral directors around the country are speaking out. And what they're saying is that the only people who are dying from the vaccine. People are not dying from a virus anymore. They're dying because they took the vaccine. Now, here's Pfizer and Moderna COVID-19 injection hijack your cell's ribosomes and churn out toxic proteins that attack your body. Okay, well, here's an article that I'm looking at. That just goes into the details of what I was talking about just a few minutes ago. These injections hijack your cells' ribosomes. Those are the little machines inside your cells that make protein. They're like printers. you put the program in the ribosome, it's going to print out a protein, just like the printer in your office. So you print out enough of these toxic proteins and you're sick. They attack your body and get the cells. Now, here's an interesting headline from England. Apparently, three BBC presenters, newscasters, three BBC presenters dead from the vaccine. A guy named Dom Busby, 53 years old, suddenly developed a brain tumor, dead 11 weeks after he took the AstraZeneca kill shot. Now, the same thing is going on in the airline industry. British Airways has lost 4 pilots in the last week. Vaccine death. American airline companies, they're having the same problem, and they're starting to cancel flights. And they do report they have a pilot shortage, but they don't say why they're short on pilots. But it's easy to understand that when you're flying to 30,000 to 40,000 feet, anything that has a tendency to cause a blood clot is going to be more deadly at 30,000 feet than it would be at sea level. Not only that, if you're at 30,000 feet, 40,000 feet, you're exposed to all kinds of cosmic radiation coming in from outer space. All of which is a deadly combination. So pilots, flight attendants, and people who do a lot of air travel, you're putting yourself at great risk, especially if you have been vaccinated. Now, here's an interesting story about the same topic. You know that in Russia and in Spain, if you have been vaccinated, they will not allow you to get on an airplane. The people here, I'm being told if you're not vaccinated, you can't fly, you can't travel. But in Russia, if they find out that you've got this AstraZeneca vaccine, you can't get on a Russian plane. Same in Spain. Everybody's not crazy. Now, here's a headline that doesn't seem to have much to do about this COVID-19. But do you know that there's a water war going on? But there's water wars about to go kinetic in the U.S. as farmers are targeted. Terrorist state governments that are deliberately collapsing agriculture. And this is especially true in California. California warns Central California farmers of possible water cutoffs due to drought. 6,600 farmers in Fresno area alone. So now what does that have to do with COVID-19? Well, that means drought. If you think 90% of the produce, vegetables on your dinner table come from the Central Valley of California. So if it's drying out from a drought, that might affect you. Now look at this, 49 people shot on Father's Day in Chicago. Gunshot victims up 90% in Minneapolis. Now, if you actually check, you'll see some of these cities where you have skyrocketing violence and all kinds of crazy things going on. Those are highly vaccinated cities. then you might be looking at something that we've touched on, sort of tongue-in-cheek, some people thought. I'll be... Okay. I'm looking for some other headlines here, but I think those are the main ones I wanted to... Wait. Here it is. There's two more I want to talk on. The vaccine campaign is now moving into children, the age group, 12-year-old up, even younger. Now, 86% of the people in that age group, adolescents, teenagers, in other words, 86% of them have severe side effects, the most common of which is migraine headache every day, ringing in the ears that they can't deal with. And, of course, the worst complication seems to be a cardiac event where a 13-year-old died of a cardiac event that doctors consider is like having a heart attack. And, of course, due to the vaccine. And for the reasons that I mentioned, when you get these ACE2 receptors, they're inside the heart itself, inside the coronary arteries that feed the heart. Well, if you get a blood clot in a coronary artery, well, that's the very definition of a heart attack. But it shouldn't happen to a 13-year-old boy. How about this? 4,000 women report menstrual problems, including heavy bleeding and delayed periods after getting their COVID vaccine. And this even includes at least one 80-year-old woman who started having menstrual cycles. Now, as a surgeon, you see, if you tell me an 80-year-old woman is having vaginal bleeding, that's not menstruation. That's cancer. You let's get real here. 80-year-old women don't have a cycle, but they do get cancer. And now the data shows, is beginning to show, that people who have been vaccinated have an increased susceptibility to the variant. We're talking about this Delta variant. This is what Delta, I see, Alpha, Beta, Gamma, Delta. Delta is the fourth letter of the Greek alphabet. It's used in science. When you see the letter Delta, Delta means change. So the Delta variant. So people who have gotten the shot have an increased susceptibility to these variants and illnesses and have a skyrocketing death rate. Now, some of you remember Dr. Luc Montagnier, Nobel laureate. He said, that the vaccine campaign in the middle of a pandemic is a very bad idea because it produces lethal variants. And other people pointed out, and predicted, I should say, this second wave of death that we're now in, 65% of the people who are going to die are going to die. 65% of the people who die in this second wave are going to be vaccinated people. So the more vaccinated you are, the more likely you are to die. And just in time, it says, excuse me, Moderna is already preparing booster shots for vaxxed people. And the more shots you get, the more likely it is you have side effects. And here it goes. The post-vax heart condition looks like a heart attack in kids, reports a pediatrician. Dr. Fauci, let's flip. That Mark Zuckerberg offered him, quote, resources and money to do something for him. Now, this is the last, I can say there's so many stories that are coming out. I'll end on this last one because it leads to something else. This headline says, vax people are being tracked in real time with nanotech send, receive, text a vaccine, which of course we know is not a vaccine. It's an operating system. So vaccine people are being tracked in real time. GPS, everything. And then, of course, the nano sensor, the biogel. That is reporting your heart rate, your blood pressure, your body temperature, your breathing rate. And it is reported that it can even sense your mood. And some say it can even read your thoughts and erase memory. One of the most disturbing changes in behavior that has been reported is not only the bizarre things that people are doing that kind of zombie-like in some respect, but some people are reporting that vaccinated people don't know who they are. Not the vaccinated person doesn't know who he is, but the vaccinated person is married to a woman for 30 years, and suddenly he doesn't know who his wife is. And even when she proves to him that she is his wife, he insists you're not the same. It's not really you. And they have some funny name for that condition. And so you're starting to see that the people are not who they used to be, either to you or to them. You're not who you used to be to them, or they're not who they used to be to you. And so that leads to social confusion inside of a family. So these are all side effects of the vaccination campaign. So it's 7:38, went a little longer with that than I intended. But I think it's very important for us to understand in a wider perspective what is going on and what we're faced with. You see, it says, no weapon formed against the righteous shall prosper. But how many weapons are ranged against us? Just one? No, many. So we need to be aware as broadly as we can of everything that's going on. I think the military calls that situational awareness. I think they call it that. So we should have situational awareness. So with that, I will end reading those headlines. And we're going to open up the lines for questions or comments, for testimonials. Maybe we can go a little longer tonight than usual. Now, tomorrow night at 9 p.m., I'm going to be doing my show, The 19th Element, where I get to go into some detail on some of these other side stories. We're going to do part two of an interview that we did with Hip Hop Detox, and that's going to be next Tuesday at 12:30 p.m. Look for it on their website and on the Facebook page for Hip Hop Detox. That's spelled with two X. And then the 29th of June, we're doing a program with Minister Rodney and Minister Ava. What is that called? The Plagues of the 21st Century. And that's going to be 8 p.m. next Tuesday. And I'm going to be back with Black Leroy this coming Thursday in New York, 7 p.m. And that's with Wisdom's Table. So these are events that your community project is going to be represented by yours truly, trying to get the word out. Remember, the fifth leg is education. We got to get the word out to everybody who needs to know, and that is everybody, because everybody's life is threatened. So, Sister Najma, can you please open the lines and hear from our...
Yes, sir. So for those callers who have a question or a testimonial, hit star 6 and the number 1, and that'll place you in your queue. Again, star 6 and the number 1. Caller 314, please state your name and the city you're calling from.
Yes, after. Hello?
Yes, go ahead.
After receiving the injection, how long a period of the incubation period time when a person would start having these various different symptoms that Dr. Arlene just mentioned in terms of sort of like going into a stage of senility and various different things like that, not knowing who they are. Is it a time process or each individual is different? And
okay,
can,
well, thank you for that question.
I'm sorry.
How long does it take these symptoms to manifest? Well, we're finding out. Remember, the newly elected president is a little bit behind schedule. Remember, he was just installed in office. What was that, January the 20th? And he was sad because only 300 million jabs have been administered. So we're in the middle of the vaccine campaign. Now, according to Dr. Yeardon worked for Moderna. I think he's retired now, but he was one of the research scientists that helped to develop these things. And according to Dr. Yeardon, who turns out to be a whistleblower in retirement, he says, number one, your government is lying to you about everything. And he says, number two, these vaccines are not vaccines, and he goes into the details of what they really are. And he says they're designed to kill you. The third thing that he points out is they're not designed to kill you overnight. He used the word time release. He says they're programmed so that they have their effect gradually over a period of time. And the example that I recall that he used, he said, okay, we can program the vaccine to kill your liver in 9 months, not 9 minutes or 9 hours or 9 days. You might figure out, oh, the vaccine caused my liver failure. But 9 months or a year and 9 months, it can be programmed. Remember, there are electronic components that are injected. That's why it's not a vaccine. It's an operating system. These are transmitters that both receive and transmit radio frequency and control NH2 receptors. So what that means, that from a remote control, from a remote location, a person who is vaccinated, being tracked by the global grid system, the so-called Internet of Things, that person being tracked, you could also have a frequency of a disease dialed into them at any time. And so the question is, well, when would these effects manifest themselves? Well, think about the poor nurse, I think her name was Tiffany. She volunteered to receive the vaccine on TV down in, I think, in Tennessee. Well, she dropped dead right there on camera. It didn't take her long to manifest symptoms. She dropped dead on the spot. But most people don't drop dead on the spot. According to the CDC, there's only 10,000 people who have died so far from the vaccine shot. Now, of course, they hide the fact that only 1% of the total adverse reactions get reported. So if 10%, I mean, if 10,000 is 1%, well, then what's the total? There'll be 1 million deaths. And we shouldn't have any confidence that they're reporting all of the deaths because look what Governor Cuomo did. He hit, they said, 40% of the deaths in the nursing home. They didn't even report it. So suppose there are 1 million people who have already died from the COVID shot. And it would be a kill shot. And then, of course, the CDC is saying that there's, the last time I looked, there were a couple hundred thousand adverse reactions, same thing in Europe. And if that's only 1%.
Okay, so back to me.
Well, wait a minute. There's several million people out there suffering. And if you look on social media, you'll see it. They have chat groups on Facebook and Twitter. And these are vaccinated people, and they're talking about their ears ringing and their skin burning and skin rashes and going blind and deaf and having throat problems and lung problems and problems in every part of their body and doctors being baffled by the myriad of symptoms that are plaguing these people. And usually the worst symptoms occur after the second shot, according to these people. And so 75% of Americans have received at least one shot. So you can rest assured that over the next month to year, you're going to see increasing morbidity and mortality from the people who have been vaccinated. And then if that was not bad enough, the vaccine is self-spreading. It's self-propagating. And so the vaccinated person has to do the responsible thing and quarantine themselves from unvaccinated people, because you will actually contaminate unvaccinated people with the vaccine that is making you sick. And you will literally make unvaccinated people as sick as you are, even though they never got the jab. So again, like I said earlier, the game has changed, and this is part of it. So, so to answer your question, you know, the side effects that I mentioned are stretched out over a period of time, and they are designed that way. And so, that's another reason why we're doing the research that we're doing, so we can give a more exact answer to a very good question.
Thank you.
You're welcome.
Dr. Aline, this is Mr. Dozier. I took the Paxlovid, and I was diagnosed with the virus. Though my body seemed to be strong, and it didn't show any strong pains or anything like that, and I was constantly taking the Paxlovid. What do you think I should do from here?
Well, I think you should keep doing what you're doing. I'm glad you raised that. You see, you're doing the right thing up till now. That was, it is part of the right strategy. But what has to be added to it is you have to protect yourself not so much anymore against the viruses, because the Paxlovid will continue to protect you even against the Delta variant or any other variant. See, every time they start a new booster campaign, you're going to get a new variant, and it's going to be worse than the one that was there before. But the Paxlovid will handle any virus. I don't care how bad it is. So you're good on the viral front. Just keep doing that. But what you have to do, in answer to the question that I raised, how strong can we make our foundation? Well, now that's partly up to you. How strong can you make your foundation has to do with how serious are you about your nutrition. And so if you are eating a good diet, following how to eat to live, eating and drinking the raw milk, real good, solid nutritional diet, and then, of course, in addition to that, that diet needs to be supplemented. So I've created what I call the spike protein protocol, because some people cannot follow my advice. The best advice to handle the spike protein is you stay in your house and you isolate yourself from everybody, because there is no way to be sure that you aren't going to encounter somebody who's shedding the spike protein. So stay at home. Many people say, well, that's impossible. I can't do that. I have to be out. Okay, well, then you're going to encounter the spike protein, and you're going to inhale it, or you're going to touch somebody, or somebody's going to spit on you or sneeze on you, and you're going to be infected with the spike protein. So there's a spike protein protocol on my website, draline.com, and the heavy doses are for people who have been vaccinated. You roll up your sleeve, and they stuck that needle in your arm. Okay, so you see the two dosage columns. One is for the vaccinated people. The other would be someone that was just exposed to a vaccinated person. So if somebody in your household is vaccinated, you need to be on the spike protein. If somebody in your workplace has been vaccinated, you need to be on the spike protein protocol. if you're trying to go to school or you're trying to be on a sports team or do whatever, you are around vaccinated people, or you're on trains and planes and buses, you're out in the shopping malls and whatever you're doing, when you're around vaccinated people, because 75% of Americans are vaccinated, they're shedding the S protein, and if you aren't careful, you're going to catch it. Now, again, let me repeat myself. If you were being 100% careful, you wouldn't be in the mall. You wouldn't be in the restaurant. You wouldn't be on the bus. You wouldn't be on the plane. If you were being cautious, if you were being careful with your life, if you were taking what I'm saying to you seriously, you would not be out there in the public endangering yourself, because it's almost inevitable. And you will get infected with the S protein if you are out there like that. So you can find that at drlin.com. And so I would add that, brother. You sound like you're doing good. And so just get your nutritional foundation, you know, solid like it's supposed to be. Sounds like you know how to do that. And then you just go to the website, and depending on what you think your risk level is, and then you select either the antiviral protocol or the spike protein protocol. And right now, I'm strongly recommending get the spike protein protocol, because, hey, 75% of your friends and neighbors are vaccinated. They're going to give it to you.
Okay.
Now, here's something before the next call. I was looking for this headline. I didn't see it. But it's all over the news now that 2 weeks ago, people were surprised that vaccinated people were magnetic. Now it's understood. That's because magnetic nanoparticles are injected as a part of the vaccine. They call them SPION, super paramagnetic iron oxide nanoparticles. They call them SPION. But now guess what? Remember, how long ago was it they had a hack? Somebody hacked the energy pipeline. And then right after that, somebody hacked the meat packing plant. So now guess what happened while the meat packing plant were shut down? Apparently somebody got in there and vaccinated the chickens. Somebody got in there and vaccinated the pigs. Somebody got in there and vaccinated the bees. So now people are buying chicken and beef and pork chops and whatever they like to buy, and they bring it home, and it's magnetic, just like they are. So it means that the chicken got the same vaccine you got. The cow got the same vaccine you got. And so if they don't get you one way, they're going to get you another way. So my recommendation, of course, is to stay home. Take care of your own food supply. But if you must go out and purchase these things, say at the supermarket, take a magnet with you, or take a magnetometer. If you must go out and eat in a restaurant, take a magnetometer with you to make sure that what you're eating isn't vaccinated meat or chicken. And then, of course, it could all be synthetic anyhow. We're not even sure if the meat that is on the market is actually natural meat. Because Bill Gates is fooling around with meat printers. He said anybody should be eating synthetic meat to save the planet. Not to mention the fact he's the biggest owner of farmland, and most of the fast food restaurant chains, they buy all their food from him. Bill Gates is the man. So be careful with the food supply. It's also been vaccinated. And magnetic nanoparticles have been found in organic bananas. You see, so what we're dealing with is a poison food supply, along with everything else. Well, I've been talking in the past, I've mentioned the word famine. And people will say, well, the supermarkets are full of food. The shelves are not empty. What do you mean, famine? Was like that old poem that somebody wrote, that the rhyme of the Ancient Mariner, water, water everywhere, not a drop to drink. Yeah, food everywhere. not a morsel to eat because it's been contaminated unless you grew it yourself, unless you know the source of that food and it's not contaminated. And so you need to think about these things very deeply because the world around you has changed and the usual activities and the usual habits, the way we go about our daily lives, and you keep doing it the same way you have always done it, and you think about it the same way you have always thought about it, you're going to be destroyed. But you have to change up with the time and be aware, in other words, situational awareness, and then make the proper adjustment. I wrote a poem last week, and the line said that war is not a metaphor. This is real. This is not rhetoric. This is kinetic war. And you are the intended target. So you should actually start acting like it instead of acting like a passive spectator on the sideline. You're not on the sideline. You're in the firing line. So let's take the next call.
Yes, sir. Caller 909, please state your name and the city you're calling from.
This is Brother Jay from Rancho Cucamonga.
I said, wow, here's a person that's really hard to refute. You know, it's you can't just sort of label and dismiss her, right? We have these labels, oh, you're an anti-vaxxer, oh, you must be a Trump supporter, or whatever people want to say. You came in with a lot of backing, a lot of science. So let's start there. What is it that qualifies you to talk about these issues that everybody's sort of discussing, you know, in an armchair quarterback kind of way?
Right. Well, the science of the COVID vaccines is extremely complex. And as a molecular biologist, that's the kind of thing I studied. In fact, when I was at University of Michigan, Jeffrey Chamberlain was there. He worked on the dystrophin gene, and he since went on to go on to do a lot of gene therapy. So I remember him bringing in different conferences, looking at gene therapy with the CFTR gene. So these exact same platforms, when I saw that, I was like, that's what we were doing. You know, the adenovirus vector, and the liposomal particles. They started with the adenovirus vector. And so I was familiar with all of that, but not as a vaccination platform. And so I understand the molecular biology, what they're trying to do, what it can do, what it can't do, what some of the risk have been historically. And also, so I also have another one, and that is that as a mom, I actually got out of science and decided to teach because I really believe what we teach our young people is just so central. And then I homeschooled my son, and that gave me the time to sort of back up and take a more global perspective. Sometimes when you're in science, you can't see the forest for the trees. You're just really focusing on one little problem. And I had been concerned even in graduate school about vaccines when they added the chickenpox. I was like, I didn't feel that the cost of chickenpox, it wasn't deadly, was enough to warrant monkeying around with your immune system because my degree is actually in cytokine signaling, and that's how your immune system signals. And so we kind of knew that we didn't know a lot, quite frankly, and that we weren't really altogether sure what unintended consequences might come from these vaccines. And so, as I said in my testimony, PhDs are some of the most vaccine-hesitant people because they know that these issues are complex. It's not a magic bullet. In our culture, unfortunately, we've started to worship science and hope and pretend that it's a magic bullet, and it's not. There are almost always unintended consequences of things. And so, and then I saw the kids getting vaccinated more and more and more. Then they moved it to under 2 years, and I said, wait, I was taught that the immune system's not developed enough to even elicit a proper immune response. Why are we doing that? What I didn't know until much later was that in 1986, Congress voted to indemnify the vaccine manufacturers. So after 1986, they were not liable for any vaccine that's on the childhood schedule. Perfect business model, mandate it for school, no liability. And so as soon as you get it on the schedule, you're good to go. And so you can imagine the pressure on our regulatory agencies to approve these because of all the money behind it and all the money that was getting made. The money that was made off of these catapulted the pharmaceutical industries into a powerhouse of lobbying and just money that they could, you know, you'll notice if you turn on the news, a lot of it's pharmaceutical advertisements. And so are they there to sell you the pharmaceuticals, or are they there to control the content and make sure no bad press is released about the products? I don't know the answer, but I know I'm uncomfortable with that model. I didn't know all of that, but I was seeing things that didn't make sense from a scientific perspective more and more and more. And several years ago, I took a deep dive into the vaccines with actually PubMed is online. That's where all your scientific papers are kind of stored. It's a library that you can access. We used to have to pay for that in the lab, so I didn't realize I could have access to it. And so I was able to take a deep dive into the primary literature and really see, you know, each vaccine, what the positive and negative. And what I found was deeply, deeply disturbing.
Really interesting. Okay, everybody who just came in, I'm talking to Dr. Christina Parks, and you saw her testimony this week, which you can actually check out if you go to my Instagram, which is The Real Boyce Watkins. You can actually see where I posted her testimony, and I know over 100,000 of you just on my platform alone watched the testimony, but millions of people saw it worldwide. And so hit the like button, share, subscribe button if you haven't done it yet. And I want everybody to know, and Dr. Parks, I'll mention this to you. This is the first time in a while that I've even had an interview where the word vaccines even allowed to be used. We posted your testimony on one of our YouTube channels, and YouTube took it down, and they said, this is medical misinformation. And I wrote back, and I said, well, she has a doctor from the University of Michigan, and I said cell molecular biology, but you can please correct me. And I said she was testifying before the Michigan House of Representatives, whatever it was called, and I don't understand why this would be defined as medical misinformation, you know. And they put the video back up, right?
So it's That's good.
Yeah, right. We got lucky, right? But it was one of those things where I knew when I put it up, I said, you know, this doesn't fit the existing narrative. And I'm going to tell you the truth. My goal in all this, and I'd love to get your help on this, my goal is to be as apolitical as possible. Like I don't want it to be a Democrat-Republican thing. I just want to know what the right move is. And so I have friends on both sides, and I don't get mad at them because I believe it's a personal choice. But it seemed to me that when you did your testimony, I saw a lot of people cheering, like, yeah, wow. Then I saw a lot of people saying, oh, no, this is crazy. What's going on here? How has that been for you? How has that felt for you this past week or so with your video kind of being all over the earth?
Honestly, I've almost gotten mostly 100% positive feedback, just a couple of people asking questions, which I'm always happy to answer. That's the thing. I'm not going to shut you down and say, you know, if you're legitimately curious, now if you start attacking me or things like that, then I don't have time for it. But I have had in the past many naysayers, and I think the core is the core belief that we want to trust our government, right? We want to trust the CDC, that our medical professionals, even our doctors, really have our best interest in mind. And I think many of those people do, but they've been misinformed as well. And they haven't had the time or the energy or the inclination to take a deep dive as I have. Or, you know, most people, doctors are not really familiar with the science at that level, at that cellular, molecular. And really, you know, I wasn't. For instance, there's a virus called SV40, simian virus 40. And in graduate school, we studied this as sort of a prototypical virus that contributes or could cause, you know, we usually say contributes, not cause, but cancer. And so we studied this in a fair amount of depth, but I was never, ever told that it was actually isolated from the polio vaccine. And that is, So okay. We were told that vaccines, sorry, I'm not supposed to say that word right. We were told that we were saved from polio by this new scientific breakthrough, but we weren't told that there were actually a lot of unintended consequences of that campaign, and that it actually in many ways looks very similar to some of the things that are going on here. For instance, before the new jab came out, basically everyone, if you had paralysis for 24 hours of any limb, you were considered to have polio. after it came out, you had to have paralysis for 60 days or more to be diagnosed with polio. So do you think that the rates went down? There is new evidence that there's a possibility that that different heavy metal and arsenic containing pesticides really played a role as a predisposing factor, because there were also other viruses that caused paralysis, echovirus and Coxsackie virus. And there was never any jab for those. And so those, like, what's going on with that? And so the science is more complex, the history is more complex, and there's been a cover-up. And now there's 6 to 10 different types of cancer where they routinely sequence this SD40 virus from. And so a special mesothelioma is one, and you can go right into PubMed and find those. They're now trying to walk it back, but for a while it wasn't even in contention. And they go to Europe where they, and so here's where it gets really messy. I was like, well, wait a minute, how did this monkey virus get into our medical treatment, right? And the answer is that all viruses are grown on cells. And for a long time, they were grown on animal cells. And they were grown on, a lot of them, an animal cell called a monkey kidney cell. And those do not have antiviral defenses. So they're like a Disneyland of viruses. And so when you grow a virus, for the inoculation on that, and you purify it, viruses are very small. You get some that ride along with it. And then when you give those to people, that virus now is transferred to the human. That's one of the reasons, actually, I think this new platform, the mRNA, is actually not grown on cells. So that's one of the reasons I think they're trying to move to a cell-free platform. But my question as a scientist has always been, are you just, trading one set of problems for another? Let's slow down, right? And they've been working on these mRNA vaccines for quite some time, but, none of them had been brought to market, and this one certainly came to market very quickly. And even if that platform were acceptable to me, this viral spike protein is very, very problematic. And you're basically telling all your cells to make it. So anyway, but we got off of the whole polio issue that most people have never heard that story.
Well, Dr. Parks, one of the things that that stood out to me in your testimony was that you actually, I remember I said to my wife, her name's Alicia, and I said, this is probably the best testimony I've seen on all this, because I didn't feel like it was politicized. It wasn't like, oh, don't do it, or you got to do it. It was like, here's some science. And one thing you said that really got me was you actually seem to make the argument that if I'm vaccinated against one strain, that if another variant comes out of the virus, that I'm going to be more vulnerable to that new variant. That blew my mind, because that's almost completely different from what the media has been saying. They sort of have placed this idea out, it seems, that the people going to the hospital are the ones who didn't get the jab, and that the people with the jab, yeah, they caught it. And by the way, they are passing it, but they're okay. They're going to be fine. Can you kind of lay out your truth on that based on, what you know?
I don't listen to the media very often, because when I do, it's really, really disturbing. I'm just like, I can't listen to that, because, some of that is just a lie. And so I understand how people who aren't versed in the science can promote that. But in fact, Rochelle Walensky was just on saying that the Delta variant, that basically the vaccine had no ability to prevent people from transmission with the Delta variant. She said that, Fauci said that. I have recordings of them saying that. But apparently the mainstream media isn't echoing that message. I can send you those videotapes, because they said that. Then there was, I gave the example of Barnstable, Massachusetts, where 74% of the people who became ill had gotten the inoculation, and 4 out of 5 that were hospitalized. So that's not what the data are telling us, and it's not what the science is telling us. Now, there's always some variation in science where one study might show one thing and another might show something else because their methods are slightly different. There are many, many variables that could make that happen, but that's not what the data are showing us at all. And in fact, this whole phenomenon was a concern of many scientists, including myself. We were hoping it wouldn't happen, But it looks like to some degree it is happening. Until we have enough data in retrospect, we won't know what the whole story is because it's very, very complex. But we've seen this with the flu vaccine, which people have not been told, that if you get it every year, you are more likely to get either the flu or any other non-flu respiratory infection. It mistrains your immune system in complex and different ways that we don't totally understand, but we do understand some of it. So I can oversimplify it. But in reality, we don't even, our immune system is so, so complex. And I believe it was designed by our creator. And so it's a huge act of hubris to think that we can monkey with it and do make it do what we want it to do all the time. Mm-hmm. So that's not to say that we shouldn't sometimes take life-saving medical treatments. Many people ask me about the monoclonal antibodies. I think that those are, an effective and useful treatment. I understand those and I don't see the risk. Do I think that there are some negatives with it? Yes, but when you're talking about someone that may have a life-threatening disease, the benefit and the cost to me, the benefit outweighs the cost. So I'm, not unilaterally against everything. It's just a matter of I just feel like people are running forward and saying, this is a magic pill, this is a magic pill, and it's not. It's very complex science with some very unfortunate and possible unintended consequences. And the thing is, the vaccinologists and the scientists either knew or should have known about these. And for whatever reason, all of that, and this is why they're censoring doctors. So here's a question I want to ask you. So if we're in the middle of this pandemic, where are all the conferences of scientists and doctors, even if they're online, even if they're on Zoom or whatever, however you want to do it? Why hasn't there been like one every 2 weeks? Wouldn't you think one on therapeutics, one on vaccine design, one on this? Where has that been? One on OSHA standards, engineering control? Nothing. This has been a top-down control by one person. And I don't know why it is. I was just alarmed because none of the policy was following the science. I knew that we had the science to overcome this last summer, and I thought by the middle of summer it would be struck down. I did my research on hydroxychloroquine, very intimately connected with my field, so I understood what they were saying. I said, the science of this medication is stellar. It's been, parachuted out for the third world where it was, just given away like candy. There are a few things that you need to be aware of. One is G6-phosphate dehydrogenase mutations in Africans and African Americans, but we know a lot about that. So this was an amazing medication with some of the most stellar basic science I'd ever seen. The top infectious disease expert in the world came out and said, I show that it obliterates viral replication in 6 days and that basically it turns this around in all my patients. Now, obviously, more studies need to be done, but this is an FDA-approved drug that is safe, and it's been used for decades, for 70 years. And yet, because I'm like, they're like, well, we need to take this inoculation because this is so deadly, but we can't take an FDA-approved medication? That makes no sense. And so there's a lot more going on here. I don't really want to discuss the politics, but what you need to know is that you're not being told the truth or you're not being told the whole story. Why that is, I can only speculate.
Let me tell everyone, let me jump in real quick, Dr. Parks. Everybody who's watching, I'm speaking with the one and only Dr. Christina Parks. And Dr. Parks gave some stellar testimony that a lot of you saw online. I'm going to put her name up here. And also, if you could, everybody, as you come in, hit the thumbs up, share, subscribe button. Share this video because you all know, I don't know how long it's going to be up, but I don't care. I want you all to have facts and truth and make your own decision. And hit that like and share button. That's really important because we have to support our people that are out to represent our interests and protect the community and support the community. And you guys, I don't think Dr. Parks needs to prove that. She did a great job. And I want to show you something, Dr. Parks. You said a lot that's really made me think. And in fact, I want everybody to know, Dr. Parks is one of the reasons why my wife and I, we don't watch the news anymore. We just watch C-SPAN. I love C-SPAN because C-SPAN will let you watch the actual press conference where you can actually hear what someone said,
thanks,
instead of CNN or MSNBC or Fox or whatever, where they'll give you their spin on what they said, you know, or they'll take it out of context. It drives us crazy. We're like, no, we just want to hear what they said, right? And so let me show you something. You brought this up, and I actually did research on this, and I want to show everybody this. This is on my Instagram. My Instagram's the Real Voice Watkins, in case you guys want to check it out. And you mentioned this during your testimony, Dr. Parks, and I want to highlight this. This is a Carnegie Mellon study that shows that PhDs are the most vaccine hesitant group of all. That here, this big tall spike, these are the PhDs. These are the people with bachelor's and master's and professional degrees, people with a little bit of college who didn't quite finish. And then here are the people with high school diplomas and less, almost up there with the PhD. It's utterly fascinating. It almost says to me that sometimes thinking that you know everything because you're following the crowd or doing what everybody else is doing, a little bit of knowledge can be very dangerous. You either want to have no knowledge or a lot of knowledge, it seems, on things like this, where you either know what the heck is really going on or you don't do anything because you don't trust the government. But Dr. Parks, you brought that up, and I'd like to get your thoughts on that. That was really fascinating. When you mentioned that PhDs are among the group that's the most hesitant to get the shot, I thought about myself. I thought about my sister, who's a medical doctor. I thought about other PhDs and MDs that I know who said, you know, nah, maybe, let me think about it. And so can you kind of speak to that? What made you bring that up during your testimony?
Well, there's this social pressure that you need to be able to follow the science, right? That if you don't want this vaccine, you are anti-science, and nothing could be more further from the truth. Again, science is complex. There are always unintended consequences. And in fact, as I said, those of us who are scientists know that there are often unintended consequences. And until we're very, very certain about something, and they're also the hardest to persuade because we know what we know. Right? Other people are like, well, I don't know who to believe. Should I believe my doctor? Should I believe you? Should I believe them? And so they're just kind of like, eeny, miny, miny, mo, okay, I'll trust them today. We know what we know. And if there's a hesitancy there, it's because we're not comfortable with that science yet. And so there are times when sometimes you wait to see what the unintended consequences are. Or maybe you just flat out say, hey, no, that is not safe, or whatever it is. But, you know, you also are able to research. And so many PhDs will take the time to dive into the literature. In fact, they'd probably be more vaccine hesitant if some of them weren't just so busy and maybe they don't have kids and they just haven't spent the time to do the research. Because one of the things, again, when I was in graduate school, I didn't learn most of this. I had to go pull the primary literature. And I was like, whoa, where, you know, most of us are like, where did this come from? Why is this not being talked about? And so, but more and more moms who had vaccine injured children, and unfortunately, many of those moms are Black moms, African-American moms, who, you know, I mentioned that the MMR study that Congress finally said, hey, do the MMR study and prove that the MMR doesn't cause autism. And they did it and found that it caused over, you know, 3.7 times the rates of autism in Black boys that got their inoculations on time versus those who got it late. What would it be if they didn't get it at all? And they checked the data. Those experiments happened in 2002. How many Black boys' brains could we have saved if we had stopped? It's very, very upsetting to me.
Only God can judge me.
Is that right?
Only God, man. Nobody else.
Nobody else.
All you other motherfuckers, get out of my business.
Really?
Perhaps I was blind to the facts. Stabbed in the back, I couldn't trust my own homies. Since the bus is dirty back. Will I succeed? Paranoid from the weed. And hocus pocus, try to focus, but I can't see. And in my mind, I'm a blind man doing time. Look to my future, cause my past is all behind me. Is it a crime to fight for what is mine? Everybody's gone, tell me what's the use in trying. I've been trapped since birth, cautious, cause I'm cursed. And fantasies of my family in the hurt. can't live.